8:15. So Chia Dai-sik, a 91-year-old grandfather, recently became the oldest person to acquire a care worker certificate in this country, studying day and night so he could nurse his wife as she started showing symptoms of dementia. Now, this sad, if heartwarming, story demonstrates the toll this disease can take on dementia patients' relatives, who are often the primary caretakers. And we want to focus on the issue as we've entered May, Korea's Family Month. And there's a lot of you out there who might feel that you're struggling on without necessarily feeling connected, because no matter what similarities there are, of course, each story is filled with individual love. Professor Lee Jae-hong from the Department of Neurology at Asan Medical Center joins us first up today. Good morning.
Good morning.
And can you tell us just a bit more about the types of dementia? Sometimes we talk about dementia as if it's one single disease.
Sure. First of all, dementia is a condition that refers to cognitive impairment such as memory loss, which is severe enough to interfere with activities of daily living. The most common form of dementia is Alzheimer's disease, which is a chronic degenerative brain disorder with a relentless course. It accounts for 60 to 70% of dementia cases, followed by vascular dementia, which is due to repeated stroke, and other neurodegenerative disorders such as Parkinson's-related dementia and the frontotemporal dementia.
Many, many people will experience things like memory loss on a regular basis. They'll feel tired or stressed in their lives, and they might actually experience symptoms of what they think are dementia-like. What are the actual symptoms of dementia, though, in its early stage that we could be aware of?
The most common early symptom of dementia is memory impairment, namely difficulty in remembering recent events, misplacing objects, and forgetting appointments. Other early symptoms include word-finding difficulty, visual spatial problem, and judgment impairment.
But what's the difference between simply being a bit forgetful and, you know, occasionally misplacing an object and having dementia?
That's not an easy question to answer right away. Just because an old individual experiences forgetful moments or episodes does not necessarily mean he or she is starting to develop dementia. Normal aging or depression could be another possibility. It's not easy to draw a definite line between age-related forgetfulness and the early symptom of dementia. However, if these episodes of forgetfulness increase in frequency and intensity over time, it raises the index of suspicion. Then you need to go see a doctor for evaluation proactively.
Understand. So in February, the government announced additional measures on dementia. Just to repeat the statistic, we have around 70,000, 1 out of 10 senior citizens as of 2017 in this country who have been diagnosed with dementia. That's according to the Health Ministry. So the government announced these measures, including lowering the amount of medical costs patients have to bear, increasing the number of centres specialising in treatment. Can you tell us more about the measures and how practical or helpful they are?
Sure. The special co-payment system for people with dementia is being implemented to reduce the financial burden on them. Most of the time, it merits medication expenses and most. It's helpful, but not sufficient to alleviate the cost of care for dementia, which is typically a long-lasting, intractable disease. Regarding dementia specialized centers, as of now, 256 regional dementia centers nationwide have opened up, providing support and daycare for dementia patients, which is a big improvement in terms of their welfare compared to the past. The problem is the service is only focused on dementia patients themselves. Little attention is being paid to family caregivers who bear the burden of dementia care at the front line. So in the process, they often get frustrated and depressed with no access to professional advice or help, the consequence of which is the aggravation of dementia on patients' part, creating a vicious circle. So educational counseling program about overall dementia care and coping skills with various dementia symptoms should be provided in a timely manner by doctors with insurance coverage.
What are efforts that people can take to try to prevent dementia or to slow it down, to try to reduce its impact at an individual level?
Unfortunately, there is no cure or disease-modifying therapy for the most common form of dementia, Alzheimer's disease. Only the medication that improves temporarily the symptoms of dementia is available at the moment. So much interest is focused on the strategies for preventing dementia in the first place. After going through extensive medical literature review, we have come up with a useful acronym termed PASCAL, P-A-S-C-A-L, for dementia prevention people can practice in everyday life. P for physical activity, A for anti-smoking, S for social activity, C for cognitive activity, A for alcohol drinking in moderation, and lastly, L for lean body mass and a healthy diet. It is estimated that 35% of dementia cases could be prevented by implementing these measures. So it's well worth remembering this mnemonic, PASCAL, for dementia prevention.
Well, 35% of 70,000 suddenly becomes quite a big number, and that's for this country alone. Professor Yi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, my pleasure.
So we heard there from Asan Medical Center. Let's now get to the Life Center at Chaum with Dr. Won Eun Soo. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And it's actually expected the number of dementia patients will rise in the working age population. We'll have to see more and more people taking care of those patients from up to 4 in 2030 and 15 in 2060. It's really, unfortunately, one of those things as an aging society that we have to become more and more familiar with. Dr. Won, how important is early diagnosis, not only for patients, but also for those taking care of the patients?
Well, early diagnosis and treatment may help the maintenance of a milder and less costly disease state and provide the patient and family with a framework for understanding and adapting to cognitive and behavioral changes. Well, due to ethical reasons, there aren't any controlled studies, but a significant number of observational studies have reported early diagnosis to benefit individuals with dementia for slower cognitive decline or better maintained functional status and delayed admission to institutional care. And for caregivers, better quality of life and psychological well-being, along with reduced strain, have been associated with early diagnosis.
Can you give us an idea of the challenges family members of dementia patients face?
Well, I'll have to mention the concept of caregiver burden. Caregiver burden is a multidimensional response to physical and psychological, social and financial stresses associated with the caregiving experience. Caregiving in dementia is more difficult and stressful than caregiving for older adults without dementia as physically impaired patients, because caregivers have to cope with dementia-related factors, including cognitive impairment, dependence on activities of daily living, and psychological symptoms. More than half of dementia caregivers have tasks about helping activities of daily living, such as using the telephone, helping the person take medications correctly, bathing, using the toilet, and managing incontinence. However, the patients often can't understand why the care has to be provided and may refuse it. And also, neuropsychiatric symptoms that are often present in dementia are closely related to the burden, which include depression, anxiety, aggressive behavior, delusions and hallucinations. And such symptoms that are unpredictable and disruptive affect the caregivers and worsen the relationship between the caregiver and patient.
In reality, it obviously can be very heartbreaking to see a loved one behaving so differently, to become almost a different person, and then a completely different person as symptoms develop. What kind of attitude would you advise family members to have, though, when they're faced with such situations?
Well, aggressive and agitated behaviours, including physical and psychological violence, can't be easily accepted by caregivers and make the caregiver fearful due to the fact that such behaviours usually aren't attributed to dementia, but are misinterpreted as a premorbid personality or poor premorbid relationship. And the majority of caregivers believe that symptoms of the disease are under the patient's control, especially paranoid or delusional symptoms, such as accusing the caregiver of being theft and infidelity, may lead to disturb the caregiver, who may take the behaviors personally. Although it may be at times very challenging, it is important for the caregivers to acknowledge that such behaviors are symptoms, just like memory loss, which may help reduce the tendency to blame or be impatient with the diagnosed individual.
And what's also then your advice for family members? Do you think they themselves should be seeking mental and emotional support?
Well, the most significant psychiatric outcomes of dementia caregiving are depressive and anxiety symptoms. with some sources reporting their prevalence to be over 30 and 40% respectively. Because caregivers often give up their jobs, vacation or hobbies more often and have less time for friends and family. Therefore, they have significant unmet needs and barriers to addressing their health requirements, such as exercise, diet, and having time to themselves. And they lack social support and experience social isolation. So in a recent meta-analysis, interventions for caregivers, such as counseling, support groups, and stress and mood management were all reported to have positive effects on the caregiver distress by improving their depression and social support.
What about for families who are facing this dilemma between whether to continue or try to take care of their parents, for example, or relatives with dementia, or to send them to institutions?
Well, perhaps one of the most difficult decisions facing dementia caregivers is whether to institutionalize a loved one. However, research does indicate that many caregivers choose to institutionalize their care recipient at some point, with reduced cognitive function and ability to perform activities of daily living and greater behavioral disturbances being related. In my opinion, the Korean culture considers institutional care more negatively compared to other cultural groups, and family members may be less likely to terminate the caregiving role, viewing it as like a last resort. Having a more traditional cultural value may play a role in the decision to delay institutional care. However, caregiver burden and the consequent worsening of the patient-caregiver relationship can negatively influence the course of the disorder. Therefore, an environment where the carer can provide adequate caregiving without being overwhelmed by the caregiver burden should be maintained, if such balance is realistically impossible. Inappropriate guilt and responsibility shouldn't hinder rational and more optimal decision-making on the means of taking care of the patient.
Dr. Won, thank you very much for joining us as well today.
Thank you.
Dr. Won and Sue there from Life Centre at Chaum. By the way, an event titled Dementia Friendly Society will be hosted by the Korean Association for Dementia and the Health Ministry this Friday, with the aim of creating a society that can embrace dementia patients. It is a very sad situation that we've been reflecting on, when someone you've perhaps relied on in your life then not only relies on you, but can't even remember you as they rely on you. More and more we're seeing the media and social and cultural products reflecting this. But we'd also love to hear from you this morning if you'd like to get in touch. Pound a sharp 1013 for 51 per message.